Can you name this tune? Okay, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. You're right. What an affirming affirmation of who we are. For most of us, the word family creates a sense of connectedness and a sense of security. We are told that those who do come from dysfunctional families carry in their minds an image of what family should be. The overwhelming quality that makes for a healthy family is love. A love that is willing to sacrifice for the good of all. What a diverse family is the family of God, the Church of Christ. Different cultures and languages. Some are married, some are widowed, some are singled. We have young adults, children, elderly, people of different economic and social status, political views. Some are straight, some are gay. However, identity and purpose is the same. Each loved by God, and indeed are to love one another. Love defines the Christian life. Recall that Jesus, the night before he died, gave that great commandment that we are to love one another. Love described as intentional, an attitude that seeks only the best for another. Christ's love is love that also doesn't depend on a response from the other person. So why is it so difficult for us to emulate Christ's type of love? Well, if we're honest, it's basically because we're prideful, prejudiced, and judgmental. How can anyone love a person who disappoints them? Jesus, you know, invested a great deal of time and energy teaching his disciples, yet often they did not understand what he was all about. He taught them greatness comes from serving others, and the disciples argued among each other who deserved to sit at his right hand when he established his kingdom. How disappointing that must have been for Jesus, but he still loved his disciples. Jesus taught his love was for all people. But when Jesus had the conversation with the woman at the well, and when he cured the Canaanite woman's daughter, the disciples were surprised. How disappointing. But Jesus did not stop loving them. When Jesus shares his impending death and suffering, Peter, who just made the profession that he is the Messiah, rebukes him. Never, Lord, will that happen to you. How disappointing. But Jesus never stopped loving him. Okay, we might understand. Okay, we're to love people who disappoint us. What about those who bring us great pain? We know that Jesus was in that situation, and he did forgive. Can any of us say that we've never disappointed our Lord? Turning our back on him and living as he and his will really doesn't matter, because I've got my other agenda that's more important. How many of us have denied our Lord by keeping silent when we had the opportunity to share our faith? And yet, he still loves us. There's always that danger. You know, we talk about loving people. The danger that when we're speaking of loving those who hurt us, and sometimes people will interpret that to say, well, the church is saying that you stay in abusive relationships, but that's not true. Paul writes, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with one another. We live in this evil, sinful world where some take advantage of others. Some are so self-centered, they don't care if they hurt or abuse another person. We cannot fix what is wrong with someone else, and we should not remain their victims either. To love as Christ loved is to wish others no harm, but does not place us under their control. This honors who we are as a child of God and acknowledges our limits to change others. Paul's words in our second lesson have been called household rules for the church. Can you imagine family life without rules? Dysfunctional families are families who cannot function as a whole. There is little or no support of nurturing going on. This should never happen in any home life. And it should not happen in the case of the family of God as well. Sadly, church families can become dysfunctional when individuals seek their own way instead of Christ's way for the functioning of the whole. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God as lived out in this congregation. I personally can say, I am because we are. That has been so true in my own personal faith journey. I am because we are. Because I'm tied to a church family. I am because we are certainly defines my role as serving as your pastor, because I cannot be me without you. We are invited into a life connected for the purpose of Jesus Christ and his church. And for that purpose, that all will come to know and to live in his love. Amen.